It's a short story. Tom Lopez, the Hawaii, USA. Mr. Tom Lopez was a resident of the Patricia Apartments when my wife, Sarah, and I first became managers here in 1997. He was Honolulu born and bred, a descendant of a Hispanic sailor, perhaps, dating back to the early Spanish imperialism, mestizaje. His one-bedroom apartment with a kitchen and living room was very neat and attractive. The couple of times that I saw it, he had a lot of valuable little items from his native Hawaiian state. Tom was a paraplegic and had a state-of-the-art motorized wheelchair, which I could see was a source of pride. That meant that he was always outside roaming the downtown streets of the city of Long Beach, where he became very well known. His electric wheelchair had plenty of juice, something that became evident when seen heading towards the 7-Eleven corner store on 4th and Atlantic. I used to kid him saying, "Aren't you afraid that you'll get a speeding ticket?" Tom had become a good friend of the daytime clerk named Mon, who was from New Delhi, India. He was raised in Punjab and naturally spoke better English than most of his customers. He and Tom had gotten bonded. Tom would go visit him often and park himself behind the popcorn and hot dog machines, something that allowed him to give his friend Mon added coverage of the folks coming in and out by acting as his lookout. At the time when the store had not gotten proper electronic surveillance, Mon, I'm sure, really appreciated the loyalty that Tom demonstrated. Tom was handsome and smiled a lot, real friendly, and he was also obese, that awful word, which made it hard for him to get in and out of his wheelchair as needed. Tom was always very friendly with me, and I could see that he was knowledgeable and smart. I had spent 3 weeks in Hawaii during the 1950-1953 Korean War when I was a sailor boy on a floating bathtub, the LST-854. We had sailed to Hawaii in January 1951 from the Bay of San Francisco, and it took 10 days and nights to get there, more than a bit slowed down by the Alaska winter storm the second day at sea. And it had been the first time that I had gotten really, really seasick, so that I ended up puking nothing but gall with only soda crackers to at least have something to throw up. Our stay had been at least 2 weeks, enough to get acquainted with Hawaii at Pearl Harbor in Honolulu, a wonderful place with white beaches and mini bars, constantly piping out the music of the islands, including Don Ho and many super lovely Hawaiian ladies. And of course, I was more than willing to go on the beach on Liberty. Amazingly, I was able to enjoy Hawaii without having to spend any money, simply because I didn't have any to spend in between two paydays a month of $16. Still, just walking around and seeing by the beach coffee houses, nightclubs, in wonderful brightness of the calm seas, pristine beaches all around. I had never seen before, except in the movies of the late 40s. The Japanese sank the U.S. fleet, but had not damaged the city and the surrounding area. There was always alluring Honolulu sounds, which were sure to wake up the time to be happy spirit, sounds now known throughout the world. So getting back to Tom, he really enjoyed, though, my accounts of Honolulu. I had supposed that he was a descendant of a member of the Spanish fleet. He spoke excellent English, and there was nothing U.S.-Mexican about him. Time passed, and Tom started having a hard time due to his obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular problems. One night, we heard an ambulance that ended up stopping at the Patrician, and Sarah learned that it had been for Tom, who had been found dead by his home care provider. He apparently had a stroke or a heart attack. After I received the news, I fell back to sleep, not allowing the full impact of the bad news to interfere with my own need for a rest. After all, I was recovering from a stroke that I had had in the year 2000. For reasons that I could never understand, when I fell back to sleep and started dreaming, I dreamt of Tom, who returned in a taxi, and he was walking. But he was very angry, for he had, when he entered his apartment, he only found one of his sporty straw hats, a la Hawaii, though it was made in China. We learned soon that Bill and one of his friends started helping themselves to Tom's heirlooms, and we quickly put a stop to it. However, who knows how many of his valuables they had already took before we stopped him. It's hard to believe that Bill got indignant of what we told him to wait. We told him to wait or we'd call the police, because our duty was to call his next of kin. Sarah did call the person Tom had given his next of kin and learned that Tom had become alienated from his family. And the other lady she spoke to told her the nice thing that he had left behind. She told us that she had no interest in them. Just making a trip to get them would have been expensive. Plus, we really got the picture that because Tom was gay, it had become an embarrassment to his family. Bill and his friend cleaned out the place, leaving a lot of beautiful plants and two or three of Tom's fancy hats. It was the kind that one wears with an attitude. Our son Thomas was happy to have the plants that he brought the hats home to, and we had them ever since. I often wear one of Tom's hats, when I ride my three-wheel bike around town, feeling a bit empowered by one of his hats. And being a bit morbid myself, I often tell folks that I'm wearing a dead man's hat.